All right, good morning, everybody. It is Thursday morning, November 5th. We are doing Chem 30A lab. And this morning we had no lab planned. And so Maggie's given me a great idea here. We've been sitting and chatting and I've been trying to think about what to do this morning since we had no lab planned and we already finished our gas laws lab. So what I thought I would do is sort of a review session by looking at the homework that you guys have for this chapter 7. And I'm not going to do, I don't think, just for Krista's sake, the specific problems that were assigned in the homework. But what I'm going to do is the problems that are sort of in between those that are identical to them. That'll give you a shot so that if you're having trouble with a specific problem, then you can watch that part of the video, you can watch that problem solving, and then you can apply it to the problem that you're on and give you guys a fighting chance on those problems. So that's the goal for today. And what I was going to start with was problem 32. So this is a Boyle's Law problem. And I've got a list of problems up here that I'm going to do, and we'll start a screen share. We'll get the iPad up and running. That didn't work. There we go. All right, with the iPad up and running, I'll clean up these notes a little bit later, but we're going to start on 32. So this is 7.32, which is a Boyle's Law problem. And what they give us in this problem in 32 is they assume a fixed amount of gas at constant temperature. Complete the following table. So when they say assume a fixed amount of gas at constant temperature, what they're saying is they're saying that the number of moles, N, and T, temperature, are fixed, not changing. And when we do that, the way that I always say to approach these is to look at the combined gas law, P1 V1 over N1 T1 equals P2 V2 over N2 T2. And when certain things are fixed, such as the number of moles and the temperature, then those things that are fixed can be thrown out of the equation because they're the same on both sides. So we just cancel them out of the equation. And that means that when we're dealing with Boyle's Law, Boyle's Law says P1 V1 equals P2 V2. And that's the equation that we're dealing with in order to do these problem types. And for 32, they give us a table with pressures and volumes. And so they give us P1 and V1 and P2 and V2. And they give us a set A, B, and C. Not my favorite way to do a problem in terms of a table like this, but we can tackle each one of these, and then they give us a question mark to fill in that table. For B, they're giving us 2.0 atmospheres. So I should include the units here. And 350 milliliters. And 750 millimeters of mercury. And then they want to know what the volume is. For C, they give us 75 millimeters of mercury and 9.1 milliliters. They want to know what P2 is, and 890 milliliters is V2. All right, so those are all the problems or all the table that they've given us, and they're not asking for any specific units. So without asking for any specific units, then what I do is I assume that whatever units they gave me those are the units that they're going to be asking for. So volume, they gave me a volume in liters. I'm going to assume that what they want out here is liters. They gave me a volume in milliliters. I'm going to assume that what they want out here is milliliters. And they gave me a pressure in millimeters of mercury. I'm going to assume that what they want here is millimeters of mercury. Okay. And so that's the way that we're going to approach the problem. And these problems, as I said, are not too difficult. So the first one, the way that I approach these is I start off, so we're going to look at A first. I approach them by taking the problem P1V1 equals P2V2. And look at the variable that I want to solve for. I want to solve for V2. And that means that what I'm going to do to isolate it is I'm going to take and divide both sides by P2 in order to get it off of the right-hand side of the equation. And then I'm going to rewrite it real quick. I'm going to rewrite it as V2 equals P1 V1 over P2. And then I will put numbers in. Don't put the numbers in and try to solve it by putting the numbers in. Solve it from the variable point of view first, then load your numbers in afterwards so that you don't make any mistakes. So now what we can do is we can take P1, 2.5 atmospheres. We can take volume one, 1.5 liters, divide that by pressure two, which is 3.8 atmospheres. And notice how the units are going to cancel and I'll be left with only units of liters. So it's just going to be 2.5 times 1.5 divided by 3.8. We get 0.986. 842, and that's in liters. I'm not going to put out the rest of those decimals because the next thing that we do is sig figs. So there are two, two, and two, which means that we will get two sig figs in our answers for our number of liters, and this is going to equal 0.99 liters, and that would be the answer to A, okay? So the rest of these problems are done exactly the same way. If we go through and we do B, we would set it up and B would be exactly the same because we're looking for volume. So B, we're just going to throw the rest of these variables in there. The one thing that I would say is that notice that they give me pressure in atmosphere and pressures in millimeters of mercury. Those units are not going to cancel. And so I'll have to convert the millimeters of mercury into atmospheres before I can use it. And I typically do that when I do a problem like that. Let's do B here. One of the ways that I like to approach these problems is to make a list first, V1, P1, V2, P2, to pull down my data out of the table. So it's two atmospheres, 350 milliliters. And my pressure two is 750 millimeters of mercury. And my issue is that I've got ATMs and millimeters of mercury, and they're not in the same unit. And my question mark was here. Okay, so what I do is I convert this one into atmospheres first by using the fact that there are 760 millimeters of mercury for every one atmosphere. And that's going to give me a value that I can calculate that first, 750 divided by 760. This is 0.986. 842 atmospheres. And because there are two sig figs in the value here, and this is an exact conversion factor, I would be limited to two sig figs in my answer over here. So this is going to equal 0.99 atmospheres. Now, the only thing that I've done is I've created some roundoff error. I usually reserve talking about roundoff error for a Chem 3 class. There's two ways to do this problem. We can use the rounded off answer, or we could use the exact, this thing with all of its decimals in the calculator, which is the way that I prefer to do it. I prefer to keep all of these decimals in my calculator as I go through and do the problem. And so let's take and solve it. P1 V1 equals P2 V2. We're solving for V2. So we divide each side by P2. Let me just indicate that that is my way of dividing both sides. Oops, mistake. Dividing both sides so that I isolate V2 out. V2 is equal to P1 V1 over P2 now. That's going to be 2.0 atmospheres times V1, 350 milliliters, divided by now our 0.99 atmospheres. And now we can see that atmospheres are going to cancel appropriately. And we can go through and we can get that answer. Let me show you, let's get what that answer is. Notice that I still have that answer in my calculator. I don't know if my dot's not going to go over, but I still have that answer that was this full thing in my calculator. I'm going to use that number instead of the 0.99. And the way that I'm going to do it is I'm going to say 2 times 350 divided by, and then I will use the answer from the last problem. So that's going to give me 709.333 as a repeating sort of decimal place. And that's going to be in milliliters. We'll go through and we'll do sig figs. 2, 2, and 2. Remember that this is 2 sig figs here because there's no decimal that was given to us. So the 0 is a placeholder. So it is 2 sig figs. That means that my answer should have 2 sig figs. And that means that my answer here is going to be 710 milliliters. And that's the way that I would wind up reporting that. Okay. So that's how we tackle those types of problems. Let's check and see what our next problem type is. They had a scuba diver problem. A scuba diver releases 10 milliliters of an air bubble below the surface where the pressure is 3.5 atmospheres. What is the volume in milliliters of the bubble when it rises to the surface and the pressure is 1 atmosphere? So the scuba diver problem, this is, problem like 7.33. Only my problem is going to be a little bit different than this. So what I tend to do with these types of problems is I ask the question, all right, we've got a scuba diver who's down here and he's got a little tank on and the scuba diver runs out of air and he's got to get up to the surface. And, down at the level that he's at 3.5 atmospheres. And up here, we're at 1.0 atmospheres. And at this point, he runs out of air and he tries to hold his breath. And he tries to hold his breath as he rises. And so your lungs can hold a total of, I think it's about 4 liters. And so if we assume that he has 4 liters of air, and he tries to hold his breath, how much is that air going to expand as he gets to the surface? All right, and so what we have is we have a setting of P1, V1, P2, and V2. And our pressure one is 3.5 atmospheres. Our volume one is 4.0 liters. Our pressure two is 1.0 atmospheres. And our volume two is our question. Oh, yes, we did skip C, Maggie, on that last one, just because I figured that I want to try to get through as many as I can. And so by doing them all, these were both in millimeters of mercury, and we didn't have to do any conversions there in order to get the millimeters of mercury. So it would have been a straightforward problem. So that's why I skipped C. I'm trying to do ones that are just giving people enough without doing absolutely everything, if I can, if there's multiple problem types like that. All right, so in this one, this is very similar to 7.33, just different volumes, but the pressures are the same. And we start off by taking and doing the combined gas law, P1 V1 equals P2 V2. Excuse me, this is Charles's law, which comes out of the combined gas law. We solve it for V2. So we're solving it. And what we'll do is we'll go through and we will divide both sides by P2 in order to be able to isolate V2. V2 is going to equal P1 V1 divided by P2. And so now that we have that, we can take and we can throw in our data. So P1 is 3.5 atmospheres. V1 is 4.0 liters. And P2 is 1.0 atmosphere. Well, notice that we're dividing by one. We're going to take those 4 liters and we're going to expand them 3.5 times. We're just going to multiply by 3.5. So this is going to be 3.5 times 4, 14 liters is what the air expands to in the lungs. And it was an exact 14, but if we do sig figs, we'll find that it should be 2 sig figs, 2, 2, and 2. And 14, if we assume that that was an exact value, 14.0, then we're rounding correctly and the answer is 14 liters. That's how much the air expands to. And so it's really important actually for scuba divers, this is something that scuba divers know, that when you rise from fairly deep levels, that you cannot hold your breath. That if you try to hold your breath, your lungs will actually expand to the point where your lungs will burst. You need to exhale the entire time you're rising because the air in your lungs is expanding the entire time you're rising. And every 33 feet, it's an interesting fact that when we go down 33 feet, every 33 feet equals 1 atmosphere. So if I go 33 feet below sea level, I'm at 1 atmosphere at sea level plus another atmosphere of water. So I'm at 2 atmospheres. If I go down 66 feet, I'm at 3 atmospheres. And so he was somewhere around 70, 75 feet underwater just by looking at the pressure at 3.5 atmospheres. And when he ran out of air and needed to rise, and just in that 75 feet, the air in his lungs would expand 3.5 times their volume. And so he needs to exhale the entire time he's rising or his lungs would burst. Kind of an interesting problem from that perspective. Okay, next up, I should have created a second document where I can see these problem types. 336. 36 is like 35 that was assigned. So this is assuming a fixed amount of gas at constant pressure. Complete the following table. All right, so in 3.6, in 7.36, we have assuming fixed amount of gas, so N, and constant pressure, and P are constant. And they give us a table. So they give us a V1, a T1, a V2 and a T2, and they set us up at A, B, and C, 10.0 milliliters, 210 Kelvin. Volume 2 was our question mark. Temperature 2, 450 Kelvin. Second problem, 255 milliliters, 55 degrees C. Question mark, and 150 Kelvin. Last one, C, 13 liters, minus 150 degrees C. 52 liters, and our question. Okay, now, with these, we need to be careful. What we need to be careful of is any place where they give us degrees Celsius. When we developed these relationships for Boyle's law and Charles's law, and this is a Charles's law problem, which we haven't discussed yet. These relationships were developed by using Kelvin, an absolute temperature scale. So the difference between degrees Celsius, just to review real quick, the difference between degrees Celsius and Kelvin is that the boiling point of water and the freezing point of water is at boiling, we're at 100 degrees C. At freezing, we're at 0 degrees C. And then this scale continues to go down into negative degrees Celsius temperatures. On the Kelvin scale, we're at 373.15, and we are at freezing point 273.15. And the scale goes down to zero, and that is the end of the scale. There are no negative values. There's no negative Kelvin because the Kelvin scale is said to be an absolute scale, excuse me. Kelvin is based on the motion of molecules. And when molecules stop moving, when all motion stops, there is no temperature. And so an absolute scale like Kelvin goes to zero and has no negative values. Whereas degrees C has negative values and theoretically goes down to a point of minus 273.15. And that's the bottom of the degree Celsius scale. And they have these negative values, and it's these negative values which are problematic. They throw the calculations off. You must be in Kelvin to use these types of problems. And so if you're running into issues in doing these types of problems, sometimes it's because you're in degrees Celsius and not in Kelvin. So you must always be in Kelvin for gas laws. Somehow my writing is degrading here. Let's try this one more time. Sometimes I try to write too fast. Okay. So taking that part into account, that means that we can't use degrees Celsius in these two, that we'll have to convert them to Kelvin. Notice that the first one was given to us in milliliters and Kelvin, and this is an easy one. Both temperatures were given in Kelvin. So let's do A, and then we can do C, and we'll leave B alone because it's going to be very similar to what we would do for C in converting to Kelvin. All right, A. So this is 7.36A. In A, we have a volume 1, temperature 1, volume 2, temperature 2. Our volume is 10 milliliters, 210. and it was 450. And they've already given me Kelvin, and I believe that volume was in milliliters. Sorry for the back and forth. I just want to make sure that I've got everything right. So volume one, T1, volume two is my question, and T2. All right. What we said was that pressure and number of moles are constant. To show the relationship, we go back to P1 V1 over N1 T1 equals P2 V2 over N2 NT2. And when pressure and number of moles are constant on both sides, that means that we can cross them off. And then that allows us to develop the relationship, which is Charles's law. V1 over T1 is equal to V2 over T2. So there's our relationship that we're going to use. And now what we can do is we can solve it for V2. So we want to solve for V2. To solve it for V2, all we do is take and multiply both sides by T2. So we will take and we will multiply here by T2, and we will multiply here by T2. That's going to allow us to cancel that one off of that side, and we will come up with V2 is equal to T2 times V1 over T1. Notice how the temperatures are in the numerator and the denominator, and if they have the same units, the temperatures will cancel. The volume is in the numerator, and basically what we're using is the temperatures as a ratio to convert the first volume into the second volume. That's essentially all this problem is doing. Okay, and we didn't need to do any conversions because they gave us Kelvin already, so now we just plug in the variables. Temperature 2 is 450 Kelvin. Volume 1 is 10.0 milliliters. Temperature 1 is 210 Kelvin. Now we grab our calculator, 450 times 10 divided by 210. 21.428571428, and it's going to be in milliliters. I know that it's going to be in milliliters because Kelvin's cancel, and I'm left with milliliters there. All right, and now we've got to go through and do our sig figs. That's always the last part. There are no decimal points in these two temperatures, so that means that they are two sig figs and the zeros are placeholders. The 10 has three sig figs because it has the trailing zero, but the smallest is 2, and so our answer will be truncated to 2 sig figs, and it will be 21 milliliters. That's how we finish out that problem. All right, let's take 36C. Now the difference in 36C is we're solving for T2. So we'll go through and we also have to do a temperature conversion. So we'll do the temperature conversion first and then we'll solve for T2. So we've got 13 minus 150, 52. 13 minus 150. My brain doesn't want to hold all the variables. 13 minus 150 and 52 liters. So this was volume 1, temperature 1, volume 2, and we're being asked to find T2. And this is 7.36C. All right, let's do the temperature conversion first. To convert from degrees Celsius into Kelvin, what we need to do is we need to add 273. Now, I always add 273.15, and then I track the sig figs, but that's just because that's an exact value with the 0.15. I think Krista always just has you use 273. So if that's the case, then don't bother about the 0.15, but let's add these together. Oh, let's do it this way. 273.15 minus 150. We add these together, but as we're adding these together, we're sort of doing subtraction here. So 273.15 minus 150, this is 123.15. And just to show you why the 0.15 doesn't really matter so much, this is where we're doing our rounding. Because the 150, I don't think it has a decimal. I'm gonna look back, it does not. So because it does not have a decimal, the sig fig, it's two sig figs, and the place value is to the tens position. So being to the tens position, this number is only good to the tens position. And so that means that this temperature is equal to 120 Kelvin. And that's the temperature that we're going to use in order to do our problem with. I wanted to do it that way just because I wanted to do a quick review of sig figs and subtraction, and we don't do that very often. So it's when we get to do it, we should always remind ourselves how we track the sig figs in that and how it's different from multiplication and division. So that's important. Okay, let's take and write out our equation and solve for our variable. Now our equation, just to remind ourselves, was V1 over T1 is equal to V2 over T2 for Charles's law. We're going to solve for T2. That means that we want to solve for something in the denominator. This is a much more tricky solving problem. So what we'll do is we will take V1 over T1 is equal to V2 over T2. And first, get T2 into the numerator. So multiply both sides by T2. That's going to bring it into the numerator on the left-hand side of the equation. So now we have T2 V1 over T1 is equal to V2. Now, get rid of the V1 and the T1 by multiplying by their reciprocal. So I want to move T1 and V1 to the other side. So I will put T1 over V1 and I will multiply both sides by T1 over V1. Now, why am I doing that? Because that gets T1 out of there, that gets V1 out of there, and I will have T2 all by itself. And so I get T2 is equal to V2 times T1 over V1. And that is the relationship that we will use. So that's the way that we're going through and solving that problem. And now it's just a matter of plugging in our variables that we had. So we get V2, which is 52 liters. That's going to be times T1, where T1 is 120 Kelvin. Divide by V1, which is 13.0 liters. Now we can bring out our calculator. 52 times 120 divided by 13.0. That's going to equal 480. And unit wise, that's 480 Kelvin, because Kelvin is our unit that is left after the liters cancel. Sig figs wise, we're in 2, 2, and 3. So 2 being our smallest, and we can leave the answer just as it is. 480 Kelvin. Now we could leave it in Kelvin, or they gave us degrees Celsius to start with. And so when they give us degrees Celsius to start with, we should give them the answer back in the same units. That means we need to convert that back into the correct temperature. So to convert it back into the correct temperature, correct temperature scale, we should take and add 273.15 in order to get it back. No, excuse me, not add, subtract, because we're going from Kelvin back in degrees Celsius. So 480 subtract 273 equals 206.85. And this is where our uncertainty resided, was in the tens position. We will continue to have our uncertainty reside in the tens position. So when we round this out, we would round it out to 210 degrees Celsius. And that is T2. And as always, when you do a complicated problem with lots of math, you should always box in your final answer so that you can find it. Okay? So that's a good problem there to show. It had a bit of a derivation, some temperature changes that we needed to convert, a complication in solving for a variable which is in the denominator by first moving it to the numerator and then moving everything else to the other side, and then getting our final answer and remembering to convert our answer back into the proper units. Okay, let's see what else we have problem-wise. So 38, how hot must the air in a balloon be heated if initially it has a volume of 750 liters at 20 degrees Celsius and the final volume must be 1,000 liters? So a balloon problem, 7.38. I like these word problems more then I like just a table problem. So 7.38, how hot must the air be if initially it has a volume of 750 with a decimal liters at 20 with a decimal, no decimal. They just give me 20 degrees C. That might be interesting. And the final volume must be 1,000 liters. Now, they're doing something interesting in this problem. They're being very careful about their decimal places. So given that they used a decimal place with 750, that's telling me that that's 3 sig figs. They gave me a decimal place on the 1,000. That's telling me that that is 4 sig figs. And they very clearly did not give me a decimal on the temperature. That means that that is 1 sig fig. But also, it's in degrees Celsius, and I can't use degrees Celsius in gas law problems. So that's a problem. This is a changing condition problem. And by looking at it, we might be able to assume that this is Charles's law and be able to develop Charles's law. But sometimes I find that hard to remember in terms of what is Charles's law, Boyle's law, and all of those different things. So the way I attack these problems when they're a word problem like this is it's clearly a changing conditions. In a changing conditions problem, this is a combined gas law, P1 V1 over N1 T1 equals P2 V2 over N2 NT2. And so what I do is I make a list, P1, V1, N1, T1. And over here, P2, V2, N2, and T2. And then I start throwing all of these variables out of the word problem into my list. So initially meaning P1 or V1 has 750 liters So V1, 750 liters. At 20 degrees Celsius, T1, 20 degrees Celsius. And a final, that's P2 and V2, of 1,000 liters. So V2 equals 1,000 liters. And they say, how hot must it be? So the how hot means, what's my final temperature? They didn't give me pressures, and they didn't give me number of moles. But what they did tell me is they did tell me that this is a balloon, and it's starting off at 750 liters at 20 degrees Celsius. And what I'm doing is I'm heating it, and I'm trying to get it up to 1,000 liters. And I want to know what my temp is that needs to happen. And because it's a balloon, the number of moles can't change. So the number of moles is fixed. And so what we'll do is we'll cancel out N2. And we're going to assume that this is at constant pressure because they haven't given me pressures either starting or final. So pressure is out of this problem. And that means that when I'm looking at my combined gas law, pressure goes away and number of moles goes away. And I am down to V1 over T1 is equal to V2 over T2. And that's Charles's law. And that's how I drop out into Charles's law. I don't need to remember it. I can derive it for the problem when I go through to do it. All right, now, temperature is a problem in that this needs to be in Kelvin. So 273.15, and that's going to equal a temperature which is going to be 290. And we're going to round, because this is the tens position, we're going to round this to the tens position, 290 Kelvin, and we'll do it that way. The volumes I don't need to do anything to. And so that means that I can take and I can start solving my equation. V1 over T1 equals V2 over T2. And I'm solving for T2. I'm solving for the variable in the denominator again. So we'll start off by multiplying each side by T2. That's going to give me T2 V1 over T1 is equal to V2. And then I will multiply both sides by T1 over V1. This tends to be the hardest part for these problems, is just going through and doing the derivation. T2 is equal to now V2, T1 over V1. Now I've got the problem solved. Now I can put in my values. V2 was 1,000 liters. T1 was 290 Kelvin. Volume 1 was 750 liters. So 1,000 times 290 divided by 750, 386 with a repeating 6 decimal place. And that's going to be in units of Kelvin. Now, we shouldn't leave it in Kelvin. They gave us degrees Celsius. We should put it back in degrees Celsius. Oh, and we should do our sig figs real quick. So sig figs, this was 4 because of the decimal. The 290, we were only good to here. That was 2. 750 because of the decimal was 3. So 2 is our smallest. That's 390 Kelvin. To convert it back into degrees Celsius, we will subtract 273.15. 390, subtract 273.15, 366.85, and then we're rounding to the tens position. Oops, missed it with my line. Let's try one more time. That's a little better. Wait, something is not right. Did I not do that right? I did not. 390 subtract 273.15. I missed the three when I entered it. 116. It didn't look right. 116.50. As I said, we're rounding to the tens position, tens, which means that this is going to equal 120 degrees Celsius. And that is our final answer that we should report. Okay, so a few errors in going through that, but I think we've cleaned it up. I think we've got the right answer. And let's see what else we want to do. So we've done scuba diver problem. We've done 3.6. We've done 3.8. Let's check 44. 44 is another table, which is using the combined gas law. That's worth looking at. Because it's using the total gas law, total combined gas law, rather than just a part of it. So in 7.44, this is a combined gas law problem. And they give us variables. They give us P1, V1, T1, P2, V2, and T2, and they set them up A, B, and C. A is 0.55 atmospheres, volume 1, 1.1 liters, T1, 340 Kelvin, P2 is our question, volume 2, 3.0 liters, and 298 Kelvin. That's A. B, they decide to be mean and give us 735 millimeters of mercury, 1.2 liters, 298 Kelvin, 1.1 atmospheres. Our question is V2, and 0.0 degrees C. And the last one, 7.5 atmospheres, 230 milliliters, minus 120 degrees Celsius, 15 atmospheres, 0.45 liters, and then the question mark. All right. I much prefer a single problem. These are three different problems, and each of these three problems takes some different skills in order to be able to solve them. Let's take the first one, and we'll look at the first one. And then I think out of these, I'm tempted to do the second one and leave C out. So we'll kind of ignore C, because C is the easier one to deal with. Let's take the first one and we'll copy these conditions down. And see if we have enough room down here to solve them. A. We have a list of our components, P1, V1, T1, P2, V2, and T2. And unit-wise, when I look at the units, atmospheres for pressure is good, liters, Kelvin, liters, and Kelvin. They're all in the appropriate units. And how am I picking the appropriate units? Well, it's good if you look at the R value. R equals liters, atmospheres, over moles, and Kelvin. And really, it's about Kelvin. As long as the atmospheres and liters, as long as those are in the same units, it's okay. But Kelvin is the one that I really need to be careful with, because we need to be in that absolute scale or it doesn't work. And we're not using R, but remember that these are related through R. So when we say P1 V1 equal over N1 T1, that was solving the gas law problem for R, which then sets us equal to the second P2 V2 over N2 and T2. And so the units of R are important in the equality here, because the units of R, they all need to be in those same units to make this work. And then what we're able to do is say, all right, they're both equal to the same R value, so they are equal to each other. P1 V1 over N1 T1 is equal to P2 V2 over N2 T2. And notice that there's no N in these. That means that N is staying the same. And so N can be crossed off, and we reduce down to P1 V1 over T1 is equal to P2 V2 over T2. Anytime a variable is left out, and it's left out of both sides, you can assume that that variable is not changing, and that variable can be dropped from the combined gas law to simplify the combined gas law. That's how we get to Charles's law. That's how we get to Avogadro's law. That's how we get to Guy-Lussac's law. That's how we get to Boyle's law, is by dropping out those constant variables out of the combined gas law. All right, now all of the variables are set and we're looking for P2. So we're solving this equation for P2. So to isolate it, what I will do is I will multiply both sides by T2 over V2. Whatever you do to one side, you have to do to the other side. That cancels out T2, and it cancels out V2. So I get an equation now that says P2 is equal to T2 times P1 times V1, and that is all over. The order is not important, so I'm gonna do the order here where I take and put, that's supposed to be T1, where I put T1 under T2, and I'm gonna put V2 under V1 because I wanna show you, just rearranging these variables for a second, I wanna show you what's happening. The temperature units are canceling each other. The volume units are canceling each other. And these are being used as a ratio to convert the first pressure, well, pressure 2, into pressure 1. Or pressure 1 into pressure 2, in the way that I said it there, said it wrong, but I think you get the idea. Okay, so that's my equation. We'll copy it onto the next page, and then we're gonna take and we're gonna plug in the values. So this is the harder part because you need to see them almost all at the same time. Oh, I can look at the other screen. We'll do less bouncing back and forth. T2 was 298 Kelvin. I'm just gonna make check, ensure, yes, okay. So 298 Kelvin, and we're in the Kelvin scale, so we get to use that. V1. 1.1 liters. P1, 0.55 atmospheres. Over T1, T1 is 340 Kelvin. And finally, V2, 3.0 liters. Kelvin will cancel, liters will cancel, and I will get a pressure in atmospheres in the numerator. Everything is looking good. 298 times 1.1 times 0.55 divided by 340 divided by 3.0. Oh, I did something there that I should explain. What I should explain is the way that I entered that into the calculator. I entered it this way. 298 times 1.1 times 0.55 divided by 340 divided by 3.0. And you say, well, wait a minute, you can't divide by both of those. Those two multiply by each other. And they do. However, you could also enter this 298 times 1.1 times 0.55 divided by the quantity 340 times 3.0. These will give the exact same answer as above. And finding the parentheses on your calculator and adding in two additional keystrokes just makes the problem a little bit harder to enter into the calculator. If you realize that what you can do is that when you have A times B times C over D and E, that this equals A times B times C, we could think of each of these as over 1, times 1 over D times 1 over E, splitting them up into their individual components. When you multiply by a fraction, it is the same as dividing by the reciprocal. And so this is really A times B times C divided by D divided by E. That's where that comes from. So everything in the denominator, that's why I divide by everything in the denominator and multiply by everything in the numerator. It's just a little bit easier to do, as long as you know your math rules and what you can do. All right, so sig figs. We didn't finish that problem out. Sig figs were 3, 2, 2, 2. There was no decimal. And 2 in that case because of the trailing zero. Smallest is 2. Answer gets rounded out. This equals 0.18 atmospheres. And that is how we would go through and do that problem. So everything else here is a little math aside, okay? Let's take a look at the next one. The next one had millimeters of mercury and it had a degree Celsius. And so this is one where we need to be careful. That degree Celsius, we can't use degree Celsius, especially when we have a Kelvin in there, but never. And so what we need to do is we need to add 273.15. And this is good out to the tenths position. So this is 7.44 B. And this was our P1, V1, T1, P2, V2, and T2. I don't like doing them vertically like this, or horizontally, I should say. I don't like doing them horizontally like this. I like to have them in a vertical list because the vertical list allows me to be able to change my variables into the proper units as I need to. And so I tend to write them out this way because it gives me more room to actually function. And what I think that we'll do is we should convert all of these into the proper units before we attack this problem. And given that the pressures are in different units as well, we're going to get the pressures into the same units. So this is probably the most complicated of the types of problems that we would attempt. So notice that there are two units that are problematic. There's millimeters of mercury and degrees Celsius. And I say that because we have atmospheres and they don't line up, and we know we need to be in Kelvin. So we will convert this one into atmospheres, 760 millimeters of mercury for every one atmosphere. Let's get that answer real quick. 735 divided by 760. 0.967105. That should be enough to get us the sig figs. It's 3 sig figs. And so at 3 sig figs, we'll round it out here. Oh, that was atmospheres now. So that's going to be 0.967 atmospheres to 3 sig figs. And our temperature, we'll be careful when we convert this, because 0.0 plus 273.15. So as we're converting this, this is going to be where we're going to be doing our rounding. That was our degrees Celsius, and we're adding to it to convert it into Kelvin. So that's going to be 273.15 rounded to the one, which is going to equal 273.2 Kelvin based on the rounding rules that we've been using. And so sig figs here are not about how many sig figs go into this, but where the uncertainty resides by place value because of the addition that we're doing. So now we have all of our variables. Now we need to do our derivation and solve for V2. So we'll start from the combined gas law, P1, V1 over N1, T1 equals P2, V2 over N2 and T2. Number of moles stays constant in this problem. There are or is no N values, so no moles. That simplifies our problem, P1, V1. Over T1 equals P2 V2 over T2. Now we solve for V2. We solve that by moving T2 and P2 to the other side. So we're multiplying by the reciprocal. T2 cancels, P2 cancels. That gives us an equation now that V2 is equal to T2, P1, V1 over T1 and P2. Now I've ordered them so that I can see that my temperatures are canceling, my pressures are canceling, and I'm converting the first volume into the second volume using these ratios. Now that we've done all that work, now we can put in the numbers. We actually need to be able to see everything here to get to it. I think that's as much as I need to see. Okay, T2 is 273.2. We'll put the units into it as we write it out, because that's important to make sure to see that the units are canceling. P1 was 0.967 atmospheres. V1 is 1.2 liters. All of that is going over T1, 298 Kelvin, and a P2 of 1.1 atmospheres. Now we can zoom in and we can finish this out. 273.2 times 0.967 times 1.2 divided by 298 and divided by 1.1. 0.967117998 units, Kelvin cancel, atmospheres cancel, I'm into liters. Last part, always sig figs. 4, 3, 2, 3, 2. 2 is my smallest. 0.97 liters. there's the answer to that problem. That was a bit longer, but that was a good one. I mean, it showed a bunch of different conversions and a slightly longer problem that we needed to go through and solve in order to be able to get to that second volume. So that was good. Okay, let's do a check, see where we're at. So we've done 44. 50 is another ideal gas law. A simpler one. They're all in the, almost all in the right units. Well, we haven't done an ideal gas law, so let's do that. It's not a combined gas law, it's an ideal gas law. So 7.50. Okay, in this problem, how many moles of gas are contained in a compression tank or a compressed air tank for scuba diving that has a volume of 7 liters and a pressure of 210 atmospheres. No decimal place at 25 degrees Celsius, room temperature. Okay. How many moles of gas are contained in an air tank, a compression tank for scuba diving that has a volume of 7 liters and a pressure of 210 atmospheres at 25 degrees Celsius? There's no change in conditions here. So as soon as we see that there's only one set of conditions, that tells us that this is the ideal gas law. One set of conditions. That means that this is a PV equals NRT problem. A straight ideal gas law problem. And so what I do to parse the problem, P, V, N, T, and maybe good to put in R. And we start just parsing out the different pieces of information. So the volume is 7.0 liters. The number of moles is my question. The temperature is 25 degrees Celsius. And the pressure is at 210 atmospheres. And there was no decimal. I'm trying to be careful of where there's a decimal. And R is a value that needs to be memorized. It is 0.0821 liter atmospheres over moles Kelvin. And the units are important because the units need to match. So where we have atmospheres, we need to match. Where we have liters, we need to match. Moles is what we're going to be looking for. That's going to be okay. But we have here a value, degrees Celsius, that doesn't match our Kelvin. And so that's going to need to be converted. So we'll do that conversion first. Plus 273.15. This is going to equal 298.15. But we're at the ones position. We'll need to round to the ones position. So this is just going to be 298 Kelvin is the way that we'll do that. Now we've got everything in our list. The next step is to take PV equals NRT and solve it for N. PV equals NRT. Solve it for N. Do that by taking and dividing both sides by RT. That will remove the R and remove the T to the left-hand side of the equation. We get N is equal to PV over RT. And now we can start to plug in our values. Pressure is 210 atmospheres. volume is 7.0 liters. R, always the same, 0.0821 liter atmospheres over moles Kelvin. And our temperature, 298 Kelvin. Notice that we really needed to change those units because we're depending on the units of Kelvin canceling here. Atmospheres cancels here. Liters cancels here. And I get units of 1/1 moles, which equals 1 × moles/1, which equals the units of moles. And so that flips up into the numerator. And we are getting, we are getting the right units. Now it comes down to the math. And then sig figs. 210 times 7 divided by 0.0821 divided by 298. I'm using that divided by trick again. 66.809678 keeps going, but I think that's giving us enough moles. And then we check sig figs. Two, because there's no decimal place for the zero, so it's a placeholder. Two, because the zero is trailing after the decimal, so it's definitely significant. It's only included there because it was important. Three, the zero in front of the eight is a placeholder for the value. We always start counting at the first non-zero value. And three for the 298. So two sig figs. And it looks like our answer is 67 moles of gas or air is what that one is. All right. Let's look through the problems and what we've got. We've done 59 is another, is it Dalton's law of partial pressure? And we haven't dealt with that. And 59 is a really good one to do and talk about. And we're getting a little short on time. Maybe Dalton's law. Dalton's law is the last type of problem. And then the other ones are sort of reproductions of problem types that we've done. So maybe we'll do this Dalton's law one. We'll finish this one up and then we'll call it good. Sound like a plan? So let's do 59. Now, Dalton's law of partial pressure. I have not discussed this with you yet. So so I think it's important to talk about what Dalton's law of partial pressure is. And I don't know what this one is going to entail. I'll have to read through it and look at it. But let's talk about Dalton's law of partial pressure. Dalton's law of partial pressure says that the pressure total in a system is equal to the pressure of the first gas plus the pressure of the second gas plus however many gases there are. That's Dalton's law of partial pressure. However, within Dalton's law of partial pressure, there's a greater meaning. And sometimes it's really nice, and I don't know if we're going to need it in this problem, but I like to think of this as a different sort of, this is not the most common way Dalton's law of partial pressure is applied. Dalton's law of partial pressure is also applied in this way, that when I look at PV equals NRT, and I solve it for P, I get that P is equal to NRT over V. And if I think about this as Dalton's law of partial pressure, then what I could say here is that when these gases are all in the same container, P1 is going to be equal to the number of moles of gas one. The gas constant, R, is independent of which gas I'm talking about. R is always the same, so it gets no number. But because these are all in the same container, They're all in the same volume and they are all at the same temperature. So there is no V1 or V2 and there is no T1 or T2. It is just T and V. And if I look at gas number two, because I have my pressure one plus pressure two plus pressure N, whatever pressure it is, P2 is going to equal N2 times R times T times V, which means that when I take Dalton's law and I extend Dalton's law out, the pressure total is equal to N1 times RT over V plus N2 times RT over V plus however many there are, NN times RT over V. And then I can factor out RT and V because they're the same for each one of these factors. And so what I get is I get N1 plus N2 plus however many gases there are times RT all over V. And this is an expression of Dalton's law of partial pressure that says that the pressure total is equal to the sum of the moles of the gas. And remember, it was an ideal gas. In that ideal gases, it doesn't matter what gas it is, the gases are all the same. We don't worry about their size of each gas. We only worry about how much of each gas we have. And so Dalton's law of partial pressure, while we can state it as being the pressure total is the sum of the partial pressures, and that's what we're stating here, is that this is the sum of the partial pressures. Dalton's law of partial pressure is also the sum of the moles. That's really important. And so we could use whatever form of Dalton's law of partial pressure we need, but it's important to understand that there are two sort of expressions of Dalton's law of partial pressure. The simple one where it's just the sum of the pressures, and the more complicated one where it's the sum of the moles in PV equals NRT. So that's really cool. Okay, let's take a look at our problem and then let's solve our problem. So this is 7.59. Now that we've done that little, and they say the partial pressure of N2 and we'll have to see which form of Dalton's law we need. The partial pressure of N2 in the air is 593 millimeters of mercury at one atmosphere. Continuing, what is the partial pressure of N2? In a bubble of air a scuba diver breathes out, when he is 66 feet below the water, where the pressure is 3 atmospheres. Okay. The partial pressure of N2 in the air is 593 millimeters of mercury at one atmosphere. What is the partial pressure of N2 in a bubble of air a scuba diver breathes when he is 66 feet below the surface of the water where the pressure is 3 atmospheres? In doing this problem, we are in Dalton's law of partial pressure. But it's also a combination sort of problem in that we have the partial pressure of nitrogen in air at one atmosphere. And so we can figure out what that partial pressure is, or we have that partial pressure, and we can figure out what the pressure of air is at one atmosphere. The ratio of nitrogen to oxygen is going to be the same at one atmosphere as it is to three atmospheres. And so this is also sort of a changing conditions problem. I'm less thrilled with this problem than I thought I was going to be. I thought it was going to be more of a real Dalton's law partial pressure problem, but it's actually sort of a changing conditions problem. And so what's going to happen is this pressure here that we're looking at 593 millimeters of mercury at one atmosphere, is going to be sort of a ratio problem more than it is a partial pressure problem. Let me think if I can show you pressure total is equal to the pressure of N2 plus O2. And at one atmosphere, we're parsing the problem from the words into a mathematical equation. So we've got 593 millimeters of mercury plus O2, and we don't know what the O2 is. And then they're telling us at 3.0 atmospheres, we want to know what N2 is plus O2, because that's the expression of Dalton's law of partial pressure, is that the pressures must be the same there in terms of what they're coming out. And so the way that I would attack this problem, since they don't give us the oxygen, we could figure out the oxygens, but it's much more just a ratio, that the ratio of nitrogen to oxygen is not going to change in each one of these problems. The ratio of nitrogen to oxygen is going to remain the same. I don't like that they gave me millimeters of mercury, and so I'm going to convert that into atmospheres really quick to figure out how many atmospheres that is. 593 millimeters of mercury times 760 millimeters of mercury for every one atmosphere. 593 divided by 760 equals 0.780263 atm. This is my amount of nitrogen, and it was 2.3 sig figs. So that 3 sig figs is equal to 0.780 atmospheres. And now we can do some ratio work in order to figure out what our nitrogen is supposed to be. I'm trying to figure out if there's a different, easier way to show you guys how to solve this problem, other than just explaining that the ratio has to be consistent in terms of the partial pressures. So basically what we're saying here in this problem is that the pressure at one atmosphere divided by the pressure of the nitrogen must equal the pressure at three atmospheres divided by the pressure of nitrogen at three atmospheres. So we're going to sort of think of this as N1 and N2. And that looks too much like N2 the first one and N2 the second one. I didn't want to confuse N2 and N1 as being different things in that way. And so if we want to figure out N2 at 3 atmospheres, then I need to solve this mathematically and multiply both sides first by the pressure of nitrogen . Now I see what I was doing wrong, because that's my second nitrogen. So we'll get it over on that side. And then I've got to get the other thing on the other side. So let's finish this out. Pressure N2, this is my second one, times the pressure at 1 atmosphere, divided by pressure, that was the first nitrogen, is going to equal the pressure at 3 atmospheres. And then solve it finally by moving the other two, pressure N2 1 divided by pressure 1 atmosphere. I am not liking the way that I'm solving this, but it's going to work. So then I'm creating a ratio. These are moving to the other side of the equation. And I'm coming up with my pressure of my nitrogen, which is my second pressure, is equal to the pressure at 3 atmospheres times the pressure of nitrogen, which was my first one, divided by the pressure at 1 atmosphere. And the number is going to be fairly easy. It is going to be 3.0 atmospheres times my 0.780. divided by 1 atmosphere. It's basically just 3 times the original pressure. All that complicated math to show you that it's 3 times the original pressure. (2.34 atmospheres) is what the nitrogen pressure equals. Now, that's a Dalton's law of partial pressure, because the pressure total is equal to the sum of the two pressures, but the ratio of nitrogen to the total has to remain the same in each one of these. And so if I went from 1 to 3, then basically what I'm saying is that if I'm taking and I'm multiplying this by 3, then I have to multiply this by 3. And this one would also get multiplied by 3. That would have been a much easier way to explain to you how to solve it, and makes me feel much better about myself as a teacher in ending this complicated problem that I was slogging through with you, to be able to show you that in Dalton's law of partial pressure, the ratios have to maintain the same. And so if I multiply this one by 3, I have to multiply each of these by 3. And that's how we make it work. Okay, so I'm over time. That's a longer video than I wanted to do, but hopefully that's helpful in terms of the homework and going through the homework. And we've done a lot of the different problem types, and for what it's worth. All right, I'm gonna end the recording there. Thanks for watching, and hope you find it good. All right, thanks a lot.